Well, God bless you, everybody. It's such a privilege to be able to share God's word, and I thank Barney and Vicki and Bob and Jeannie and Jan Majira for the privilege of being able to do so, something that I absolutely love to do. And tonight I'd like to share the word on the subject of looking for a change. Here we are in February, and many people across the country and the world are looking at their New Year's resolutions in the rearview mirror. Various studies have shown that somewhere between 64 and 80% of New Year's resolutions have been abandoned by the second week of February. Now, they start out with so much fervor, and by the second week in February, have fizzled down to nothing. While this is quite interesting, even more interesting is the fact that most people recognize areas in their lives where they want or need or desperately need to change. Areas in their lives where they absolutely are not satisfied with what they are manifesting. So how to affect a change in their lives is what eludes most people, and I sure can relate, and I bet many of you can relate to that too. Yet the Word of God reveals to those who will believe what is written there, that all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us to life, called us to glory and virtue, is available for us. The Word will give us what we need to know in order to be able to affect the change that we desire in our lives. So just how do we get her done, as they say here in Colorado? God has actually made a way for us to have virtually effortless change in our lives. I'm all up for effortless change. How about you guys? Sometimes the struggle just is too real. And something that's effortless, I think I could go for that. So let's see how it's done. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." That word changed is the Greek word metamorphao, which means to change into another form, to transfigure or to transform. This was exemplified in the Gospels when Jesus Christ was transfigured on the mount, and he shone with the glory of God about him. This verse tells us that transformation is available, and it is not by our own efforts, but by the Spirit of the Lord. So the question would be, how do I behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord? That phrase, behold as in a glass, is one Greek word. And it means to look at oneself in a mirror. It means to show in a mirror, to see oneself reflected in a mirror. So it's a verb that's in the middle voice. That means it's reflexive. You're looking at yourself. How do I behold in a glass the glory of the Lord? This is the only occurrence of this word in the New Testament. What do we look at so that we can see ourselves beholding the glory of the Lord? I bet you already know, but we will allow the Word to speak. Let's go to a verse that we're all familiar with in Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed metamorpho, that same word that was in 2 Corinthians 3, by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are transformed by looking into the mirror of the Word. The Word is where our identity is found. The Word is where we see who we truly are, because spiritually we are made in the image of Christ. We renew our minds to think what the Word says rather than what the world says. So how do we accomplish this transformation? First, we must realize that all has been accomplished for us in Christ, and we can rest in His finished works. So there's nothing we need to go and accomplish for ourselves. The work has been finished by Jesus Christ when He went to the cross. He fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law, and so we don't need to be concerned about keeping the law or doing any works that remain unfinished, because there are none. Next, we read the Word. We read the Word. I'll say that one more time. We read the Word to get an understanding of who we truly are. An interesting study would be to look at the seven occurrences of the phrase, "Have you not read?" spoken by the Lord in the Gospels. And in each instance when He asked that question, He was addressing the Pharisees who were trying to trap Him with questions that they posed, and He would respond with, "Have you not read?" Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 1, will read, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to youward, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." I know that for a lot of the younger generation, for sure, reading is not at the top of the list of things that many like to do, because video is so available. And they'd much rather watch a video than sit and read. But the Word is very clear that there is understanding that comes when we read. And this word for read can also mean when the Word is read to you. And we know that at the time that Jesus Christ ministered on earth, people didn't have their own copy of the Bible like we have. So the Word was read to them, but it was the hearing of the Word that was required in order for the understanding to come. So now, after having read the Word, we then behold the glory of the Lord. What is this glory? Glory is manifested power. It is the power that He, Jesus Christ, manifested as He walked in His earthly ministry, and the power that continues to be manifested through the body of Christ. This glory is tangible and sometimes visible, as it was in the Transfiguration. Take time to really read the gospel records. Be there. See the surroundings. Smell the air. Hear the chatter. Observe the Lord. This is an ability that our minds have, but it is very underutilized. as you observe the glory in which he walked, realize that you can do the same works that he did. The more you focus on his glory, the more you will be changed from glory to glory. This takes time, but you can start small. Take a few minutes every day to really visualize a single gospel record. For instance, the record of the woman with the issue of blood. Picture it. See her before she left home and how she figured out where she had to go in order to be able to get close enough to be able to touch the Lord. She figured out which street to go down. She figured out which houses not to walk in front of so that people wouldn't call her out. She figured out how much strength she would need and how much energy she would have to exert in order to get to the Lord when she was just a few people away. Picture it. Be her. Be the people who were around her. Be the Lord Jesus Christ when he felt the virtue leave his body. Your mind has the ability to be there and to do this. And, you know, we watch videos, we watch movies, we watch TV shows, and we allow these images to come in freely from the screens that we watch, but we have the ability to read the word and have those pictures produced in our minds without the help of video, because God created our minds to be able to do this. And as you observe the glory in which he walked, then you will realize as time goes on that you can do the same works that he did. The more you focus on his glory, the more you will be changed from glory to glory. Isn't that kind of cool? See yourself as the one being ministered to. See yourself as the Lord Jesus Christ doing the ministering. See yourself as a bystander watching the whole incident take place. The more you do it, the more you will be changed into his image. And it is his image that we ultimately want to change into, because that is who we already are spiritually. Just like the caterpillar is already programmed to be a butterfly, we are programmed to be like Christ. So a New Year's resolution may say, oh, well, I'm going to make it to the gym 4 days a week. And here it is, second week in February, and you can't remember the last time you were at the gym. Well, maybe that's not the basis of what you wanted to change. Maybe what it is you really wanted to change was to be more committed, because being committed to the walk of Christ is something that is innate in us as children of God. So really evaluate what it is you want to change, because that desire to change is the desire to be more like Christ ultimately. Then when people see us, they won't look at us and say, oh, there's somebody who makes it to the gym 4 times a week. Wow, isn't that a wonderful person? But rather, what they will see are living epistles who reflect Christ, who reflect the God in Christ in them. It's not ourselves that we want to glorify, but rather we want to change from glory to glory into the image of Christ. And no matter what it is that we desire to change, if that is our goal, then that is what will happen. And it will happen as we look into the Word and allow the Word to give us great understanding and to transform us and it's by the Spirit of God. It's not by our effort. It's not by our working harder or thinking harder or being more committed to do anything. It's by focusing on what the Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished for us, and we just change into that image. We'll be like Him, and our own efforts to change ourselves will fall by the wayside, because true transformation is by the Spirit of the Lord. Our true aspiration is to be like Him, and that is what actually prompts a desire to change. And there's a song I asked Barney to play, and I'd like him to play it because I think it really exemplifies the heart of a true child of God. What we want to do is we want to glorify our Lord and our Father. So, thanks, Barney. You can play it.
Why you ever chose me has always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line with all the other not quite. We'll all never get it right. But it turns out they're the ones you were looking for all this time. 'Cause I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world. Nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see. Nobody but Jesus. Well, Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight. You picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is everybody's got a purpose. So when I hear that devil talk talking to me, saying, who do you think you are? I say, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see. Nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world. Living for the world, nobody but you.
Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you've made us to be in Christ, Father. And it's not by our works, but by the amazing work that He completed, Father, at your request. And Father, thank you so much that we can rest in his finished work, and we know that you are the one who has called us and made us to be like him. And so it's not that we have anything to boast about, but Father, we know that we can trust you. We know that your word is trustworthy, and that as we reflect on your word, as we read it and we focus on it, that you are faithful, and your word states that we will be changed from glory to glory. And Father, we thank you for that, and we thank you for the day when the ultimate glory will be realized when the Lord returns to gather us all together. So thank you, Father, for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.